Thank you, Helen, and thank you to Joe and Helen for our readings. I'm sorry, there were quite a lot of readings, but they were only little ones, because I was looking for things that tell us from Scripture about the Holy Spirit. In this whole season following Trinity Sunday, we're looking at the subject of Christian assurance. How can I be sure that I'm a Christian? Because I know many churchgoers who say things like, oh, I do my best, vicar, or I do hope so. But the Bible tells us that being a Christian is actually about trusting in Jesus. It's not actually about doing my best. Of course, we do our best, but even the best of us doing our best can't actually achieve God's perfect standards. Because we all have to admit, occasionally, we make a mess of things, don't we? So how can I know that I'm safe with God? How can I be secure in my faith? I was inspired recently by a little phrase in a newspaper that what we're doing in the church is we are encouraging tentative Christians to become faithful and faithful Christians to become witnesses. And I think that's a good description of our task in the church. Many of us are tentative about our faith, aren't we? We're really not entirely sure. We come and go in our faith. I think David Cameron said it's a bit like the reception for Chiltern FM or something in the Chilterns or the Cotswolds or whatever. Comes and goes a bit. We're encouraging tentative Christians to become faithful, and then faithful Christians to become witnesses, to tell others the good news of Jesus. And we started with the nature of God as Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's relevant to Christian assurance because it's an answer to the question, how can I be sure I'm a Christian? There are three aspects to it, which I've put up on the screen. We're sure, we can be sure, because of the Word of God the Father in Scripture, in the Bible. Because of the work of God the Son, Jesus' death for us on the cross, and the witness of God, the Holy Spirit. The dove, of course, is a symbol of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. The Word of God the Father, referring to all those promises of God in the Bible. He promises eternal life to his people. He promises that he will be faithful to us, even if we neglect him, and so on. The work of God the Son, Jesus' life and death and resurrection. Most importantly, his death for us on the cross, that as he died, he forgave us our sins. He won for us, if you like, the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. That on the cross, Jesus took on himself all of our wrongdoing and suffered and died for us. And the wonderful thing is that that is a historical event. It happened 2,000 years ago. He has done it. It's a fact, and we can rely on it. And then thirdly, the witness of God, the Holy Spirit, referring to God's interaction with us, his Spirit connecting with our human spirit, here and now, where we are. I don't know if you've ever asked this, but most people, if you ask them, have had some kind of experience of God. Often it'll be different to your experience. People experience God in all sorts of different ways, but often they've had some sort of awareness of God's presence. And when we become Christians, when we ask Jesus to be our personal Lord and Saviour, what happens is that God gives us his Spirit to come and live with us and dwell with us. And in our first reading from Romans 8, verse 9 tells us that if Christ is in you, if you are a Christian, then the Spirit of God lives in you, the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. Remarkable that. The power of God that brought life to Jesus' dead body is the same power that is in us as Christians. And so we're never alone again, because God is with us.
He's with us in our hearts and in our lives. Now, that meant a lot to me as a young person. I was an only child, and I was actually rather frightened of being alone. But I rejoiced in the fact, when I became a Christian, that God would be with me, that Jesus would be with me forever. He promised, "I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." And so we're never alone again. And then a few verses further on in Romans 8, Paul says that the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And that's what we mean by that phrase, the witness of God, the Holy Spirit. Jane, I don't know if you can you bring up the readings maybe? So this is the next one after, which one is it? 16 to 17. The witness of God, the Holy Spirit, is that the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And that means that we are heirs of God. We inherit all the good things of eternal life. We begin to experience God's work in our lives by the Holy Spirit. And that's a foretaste of eternity. What God's done is he's planted the seed of his Spirit into the soil of our hearts. And that, if you like, that plant begins to shoot and grow within us. If you like, God's character begins to develop within us. And someone asked me this week how we might actually encourage that, how we can encourage the good Spirit of God as opposed to some of the sinful human nature, some of the desires that we have. How might we encourage that seed to grow and nurture it? And I remembered a story I heard about an old Native American Indian, an old Cherokee, who was speaking with his grandson. And he said this, "My child, inside all of us, there is a battle between two wolves." I think Red Indian stories always have wolves in, don't they? "A battle between two wolves. One is evil. It is anger, jealousy, greed, resentment, inferiority, lies, and ego. But the other is good. It is joy, peace, love, hope, humility, kindness, empathy, and truth." And the little boy thought about it, and he said, "Grandfather, which wolf wins?" And the old man replied quietly, "The one you feed." The one you feed. So how can you feed the good wolf and not the evil wolf? How can you feed the Spirit of God within you? How can you encourage the work of God in your heart? Well, the first thing you're doing already right now is worshiping God, praying to him, singing songs to him. Also, of course, reading scripture, his love letter to us, his word to us. And then, of course, listening to what God tells you, what he prompts you to do by his Spirit, and obeying what we find in scripture and obeying what he tells us by his Spirit. And then, of course, there are many other ways of serving God, both in the church and out in the world, and by generous giving, and by all sorts of acts of mercy. We can feed the good wolf, if you like. We can feed the Spirit of God within. And then our third reading from Romans 26 and 27 tells us about the Spirit helping us to pray to God. Many people tell me that they're really not sure how to pray. They feel they're not very good at prayer. They need to learn more about how to pray and so on. But St. Paul tells us here, he advises us to ask for help from God, or perhaps more accurately, from the Holy Spirit within us. Because God's given us his Spirit to help us to pray. It strikes me that it's a little bit like, you know that thing where you go on holiday and something goes wrong, or you need some help, you need to find out where the tourist office is or something, and so you ask the holiday rep, don't you? the rep in your resort, because they know. They know their way around the resort. Possibly more importantly, if something's gone wrong, they know the company that you've booked with. They know head office and so on. So the holiday rep can phone head office back home and sort things out on your behalf. He knows how head office works. He's the representative of head office in your resort where you are, and he's working for you. And St. Paul is saying the Holy Spirit's like that. He's God's representative, if you like. He's God with us, in our lives, helping us, working for us, praying in us and through us to God the Father. And then lastly, that reading that Helen read from John's Gospel. Jesus tells his followers how the Holy Spirit comes to them and begins to improve our character and make us more loving and more like Jesus, because he's the Spirit of Jesus. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I will send you another counselor like me to be with you forever. And so the Spirit of Jesus is the presence of Jesus with us, reassuring us and beginning to guide us and prompt us and speak to us. And so we begin to experience God's presence more clearly in our daily lives. Some people I know say that, well, it's awfully arrogant to believe that you're a Christian, or to be sure that you're a Christian, or tell people you're a Christian. I don't think it is. And here's the reason, because it's not based on you. It's not based on anything you've done or your goodness or your hard work or anything like that. It's based on Jesus and what he's done for us. It's based on the promise of God in Scripture, what Jesus died to achieve on the cross, and by the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our hearts. So I think every Christian should be absolutely confident about our relationship with God, to be sure that we are Christians and to be sure that we have eternal life. Helen, would you lead us as we respond to the Lord's word?